The elevator doors open, and an old lady enters. As she shuffles in, she doesn't see me leaning against the back wall. She's wearing a scratchy-looking purple sweater, purple sweatpants, and glasses with lenses as thick as my thumb. She turns to face the doors as they slide closed. I watch, waiting for her to press the button to her floor. As the elevator begins to move, I feel obliged to say something. "Fifth floor?" I ask, nodding to the small white 5 on the panel, lit with golden light. She turns, her eyes wide as if surprised to see me.
"What's that?"
"Are you going to the 5th floor?" I ask a little louder.
"No, no, 4th,
she says, turning back around. She still hasn't pressed a button, and now I have a social obligation. I don't know how to do this without making her feel stupid, so I lean forward and press the button for her. She says nothing. I look over at her white hair, which is sticking up at all angles as if she's just been electrocuted. She's got way too much hairspray on. It's pungent, suffocating. A single flame in here and she'd light up like a Christmas tree. She's the type of old that doesn't really notice the world around her. I'm pretty sure she's already forgotten that I'm in the elevator. I could give her a heart attack if I wanted, grab her shoulder, scream, and watch her drop like a fainting goat. That image shouldn't be funny to me, I know that. But I can't help myself. Bad thoughts find me. I don't go looking. The elevator stops and the doors open to the 4th floor. The woman gets off, and I have the small space, still fragrant with her hairspray, to myself. Suddenly, I feel the weight of all the decisions I've made leading to this point. It sits in my throat like bad acid reflux. My therapist tells me that we are the products of all the choices we've made in our lives, and each day is a new choice, a chance to reshape who and what we are. I will myself to step out of the elevator, to be someone different, to not do what I've come there for. Maybe I could join the old lady for a cup of tea, spray my own head with copious amounts of flammable chemicals. We could play bridge, become best friends. I'd call William, tell him it's over. The doors begin to close, and I reach out a hand to press the open button, my finger hovering over the plastic as I wait for myself to push forward, to watch the golden light fill the small white circle. But I don't. I lower my hand. The doors hum shut. I knock on the door of flat 502. After a few seconds of silence, it snaps open. And there he is, William, smile on his face, slight stubble gracing his angular chin, eyebrows straight over pale blue eyes. His hair is unkempt and slightly graying around the ears, and he's wearing a white dress shirt tucked into jeans. On anyone else, it would look ridiculous, but because he's attractive, because he's a brilliant professor, somehow it's endearing.
"Jeannie," he says, "there's my girl."
He doesn't mind that I'm 10 minutes late. He's just happy to see me. And his happiness is like measles. It's airborne, highly contagious. "How's the conference?" I ask, stepping through the doorway. The room has a small living area, TV, kitchenette, and bedroom behind a partially closed door. From the window on the far side of the room, I can see the Thames and St. Paul's Cathedral. I make a mental note to visit the latter. I'm not religious, but I like the small inward feeling I get when standing beneath those stone pillars, the ancient holy art, and the great dome, which seems to rise endlessly toward the heavens.
"Oh, you know," William says, "if you've been to one."
He waves a hand. He doesn't want to talk about the conference or business, even though I know he presented an important paper to important people. He doesn't want to talk at all, actually. But I like to chit-chat with him first, watch him squirm, wait for that moment when his patience is just tipping toward annoyance before I take my clothes off.